Well, let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 5. Thank you for being here tonight. We have had the blessing of having a number of missionaries visit with us, and we've been able to hear some testimonies, some preaching, some excellent challenges. And on Wednesday nights, we've been looking at the miracles of Christ, so tonight we're going to look at another miracle in this series that we've been looking at. And early on in the Lord's ministry, we see another miracle, the miracle of the draught or the catch of fishes. In chapter number 5 of the book of Luke, look with me there at verses 1 to 11. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught, or a catch of a haul of fish. That's what the word means. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon and Jesus, said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this evening once again. And Lord, we need your help to look into your word this evening. Lord, we pray that our hearts would be open and yielded to your will tonight. Lord, help us to learn from the examples of those that have lived by faith and learned lessons of faith. Lord, help us to look unto thee. Lord, help us to see you in the word of God tonight, Lord Jesus, as the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, help us to obey your word and to learn to trust in you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we briefly learnt in our series on the miracles of Christ so far on Wednesday nights, we've looked at two miracles so far. And remember, we learnt that the Lord never performed a miracle in order to create a sensation or to stun a crowd. He always had a deeper purpose for that miracle. Now, no doubt the multitudes were stunned by what the Lord did, but that was not his purpose. His main goal was to draw out faith from those who were present. And as we saw in the miracle of the healing of the nobleman's son, do you remember the nobleman came pleading to the Lord to come down from Cana of Galilee to Caesarea to heal his son. But before he went, the Lord worked on his heart. You see, the greatest need of that man's heart was the miracle of faith for salvation. And so here we see in the scriptures the need to understand that God's miracles and faith are intertwined. You know, God can do the miraculous. He still does the miraculous today. But the question is, where is our faith? Are we willing to put our faith in the Lord? Remember, the Bible says, one of our memory verses, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible
to please Him. Now, so often we think that we are pleasing the Lord, but if we don't have faith, then we are not. Again, our theme verse for the year, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. The Bible says, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Isn't that true? Now, that's a strong statement. And that's an encouraging statement to help us to realize God wants us to trust in Him. He wants us to put our confidence and faith and trust in Him. Now, as we look into this miraculous event here in Luke chapter number 5, Luke chapter number 5, verses 4 to 8, we obviously see the miracle of the great catch or haul of fish. But you know, the greater miracle was the fact that the Lord was fishing for some disciples. Amen? The Lord could catch fish at any time. What He was seeking to do was to catch some disciples. He was drawing out faith from Peter and his fellow workmen. Now, just a little background before we go on. There was the Lord. He approached the lake of Galilee, and there were multitudes around Him. There were so many people that He could no longer stand to teach on the shore. So what did He do? He said to Peter, in fact, He didn't ask permission. He just stepped into the boat. Amen? Well, the Lord owns all things, and Peter made the right decision. And he launched out a little bit from the shore, and the Lord taught from the boat. And there was Peter, just picture it in your mind, sitting in the boat, listening to everything the Lord Jesus Christ was saying. We don't know how long he was teaching for, but there suddenly came a moment where the lesson was over. Peter had heard everything the Lord had said, and now the Lord turned to Peter and he said, this is what I want you to do. And brethren, we need to remember, this is the life of faith that God has given us. We hear the Word of God in church. We read the Word of God in our quiet times. We listen to preaching perhaps at times. But the reality is, yes, faith cometh by hearing, but the only way that you and I live by faith is when we act upon what God has said. So he turns to Peter, and the Lord says in verse 4, notice there with me, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught or a catch. So now the Lord is speaking to Peter. And now he's asking Peter, what do you really believe about me? Now you've listened to everything I've said so far. He was the closest one to the Lord, don't you agree? Right there in the boat. Front row seats were the greatest teacher that will ever exist. That's where Peter was. Now he said to Peter, what are you going to do? Are you going to believe my word? And that's the decision you and I need to make every day. That's the decision we need to make every Sunday. As God speaks to us through the preaching, the question is, what are we going to do with the Word of God? Will we act upon it? Will we believe it, or will we live in unbelief in a life displeasing to God? Now, let's be honest, my friends. We are all made of the same stuff. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us very clearly about specific people who lived in the Old Testament, and they tell us about their lives, and the Bible says that they lived by faith, and when they died, they obtained a good report. But the reality is, they were not sinless. They were not perfect. But there were times in their lives where they chose to live by faith. They had failings. They sinned. As C.H. Spurgeon said, the best of men are only men at best. Noah was a great man of faith, but he also got drunk, did he not? That's right. And you know, we also, as Christians, have failings. That's the reality. That's why the Bible says, yes, Hebrews chapter 11, what does Hebrews chapter 12 say? Looking unto Noah? No. Looking unto David? Well, there's some examples of faith. Looking unto whom? The Lord Jesus Christ. You see, He's the only perfect one. He's the only sinless one. He's the one who is the object of our faith. And as we look unto Jesus, we can increase. But the reality is, so often we doubt. Now, as we look at Luke chapter 5, before I get off track, notice the Lord told him what to do. Do you think Peter understood what the Lord wanted him to do? Yes or no? Absolutely. It was crystal clear. Launch out
into the deepest part of the lake. Let down your nets. Not only did he give him a command, but he gave him a promise. You will catch a haul of fish. Now, what was the first thing that Peter did? This is interesting. What did he do? Verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. What did he do first of all? He doubted God. Is that right? See, Peter is an example of you and I. So often God asks us to do something. He wants us to do something. We know what he wants us to do. It's not confusing. It's very simple and crystal clear. But we doubt. And Peter's a wonderful example of your faith and mine. And there are three reasons why he doubted this evening. Let's have a look at Peter's doubts. Notice the first reason, verse number 5. Why did Peter hesitate to obey the Lord, to move forward in faith? Why did he doubt the Lord? Why? Because he thought he knew better. He thought he knew better. Look what he said. He said, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. You see, Peter was the big fisherman on the Lake of Galilee. He was the man who knew where the fish were. Amen, Brother Huey? He knew where they were. He knew what time to go out. And they went out all night and they were fishing and they had caught absolutely nothing. Now here comes the Lord Jesus Christ who tells him, I want you to go out into the lake right now and you'll catch a haul of fish. Now there was a problem in Peter's mind. He said, well, we've gone out all night and gone fishing. We've caught nothing and now you want us to go out during the day. You see, the time to catch fish on the Lake of Galilee was at night time. That's when they went out to catch fish. During biblical times, they would carry lanterns or lamps, oil lamps, out onto the Lake of Galilee. And it would have been a spectacular sight where the fishermen with these lighted lamps would try and lure the fish in, literally, if you will, with those lights to catch them. And when the fish came up, they pulled in their nets. That's how they went fishing. And to Peter, I want you to realize, to Peter, what the Lord was saying did not make sense. To Peter, that's why he doubted. He said, Lord, this doesn't make sense. I know what you're saying, Lord, but in my mind, I can't see this, how this will work out. Have you ever said that to the Lord before? And your heart's beating. You know what the Lord wants you to do. But the reality is, what the Lord says so often doesn't make sense because we are so often unbelieving. We're not willing to live by faith. Just trust in his word. What he says is true, and that is that. But Peter doubted, didn't he? Peter doubted. He wasn't willing to trust in the Lord. And that's the same excuses we come up with. We're willing to hear what he has to say. We're willing to admit that his word is the word of God, but the reality is faith only takes place when we say, yes, Lord, and we do it. And we do it. So often we say to the Lord, Lord, that's not going to work in this situation. Lord, you don't know my circumstances. I hear what you're saying, Lord, but I can't, and I'm not willing to, and it's a choice to trust you. That's where Peter was at. That's where he was at. He thought he knew better. What was another reason why he hesitated, why he doubted? Notice what he said in verse number 5. We have toiled all the night. Can you see that word toiled? It means to work hard. It means to labor to the point of exhaustion. Now picture it in your mind with me. These fishermen were not beginners. They were experts in their field. And he worked all night with his men. And here's the Lord saying, no, go out right now. This is the time to go. And Peter was thinking, that's the opposite of what I want to hear. In fact, I believe to Peter, what the Lord was saying felt almost as if it was an insult to his heart. He said, well, I've been fishing all night. Lord, what do you expect to happen? What do you expect can happen if we go out during the day? That's the wrong time to go out. And so he doubted the Lord. He was discouraged. No doubt they were discouraged. They caught nothing. And now the Lord's command seemed almost as if it was an insult added to their discouragement. Maybe you're here this evening and maybe God wants you to take a step of faith and you're discouraged. Maybe you're facing a trial at the moment. Maybe you're facing a difficulty, and you might say, Pastor, you don't understand what I'm going through. And yes, the Lord does, and so often when He comes along and gives us His Word, what is His goal? His goal is to lift us out of that discouragement. His goal is for us to put our faith in Him. Amen? Fullness of faith, that's what brings joy. And when we put our trust in the Lord, He wants to bring us out. But be careful, in the Scriptures, what I've noticed is that God never panders to our self-pity. When we are in the hole, God never feels sorry for us. And that's a good thing. If you have a husband or wife that doesn't pander to your self-pity, thank God for them. Amen? Because self-pity is a selfish attitude. And when God spoke to Jonah, what did He say? Do you have a right to be angry? Did God pander to His self-pity, yes or no? No, He didn't. He said, oh, Jonah, I understand what you're going through there. He patted him on the shoulder. That's not what God did. God wanted to lift Jonah out of his discouragement, out of his bad attitude. Now, Peter was there, and what did the Lord want to do? The Lord wanted to perform a miracle in his life. But Peter had to make a choice to move past his discouragement and simply say yes to the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight. And what you simply need to do is say yes to God. That's all. That's it. And do it. Praise God, it's that simple. Praise God, God gives us a list of people who were not academics and intellectuals. They were simple believers that lived by faith. But we need to say yes to the Lord and do what He wants us to do. Now, Peter was discouraged. Now, he was also under pressure. Think about this. Perhaps thousands of people lining the shore. They know when the time for fishing is. And there's the Lord within speaking distance of that crowd. He turns around to Peter and he says, launch out. I want you to let down your nets. I wonder how many people heard what the Lord said. I wonder how many people were wondering, what is He thinking? I wonder if Peter was under pressure, thinking about, what are these people going to think of me? I mean, he was a well-known fisherman. Maybe people bought fish from him that was standing in the crowd. What would they think of Peter if he actually trusted the Lord? You know, sometimes we hesitate to trust the Lord. Why? And put our faith in Him and do what He wants us to say because of what others might think. If we fail or if we fall, that's oftentimes what holds us back. That's what was holding Peter back, I believe. In that crowd, in the midst, he thought he knew better. He was discouraged. And there were others around him. He was under pressure. And we can come up with all sorts of excuses this evening, but the reality is, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But isn't it encouraging that Peter also doubted? We also doubted. We also doubt. But the reality is, what happens next is pivotal, is vital to our message tonight. Peter's doubts turned to faith. He made a choice. He made a choice to cast away his doubts, and he made a choice to believe in the Lord. Perhaps you're here this evening and God wants you to take some steps of faith in 2016. Remember, God will do the miraculous. It's impossible for us to do the supernatural. You might be here tonight and you might say, Pastor, I can't imagine how God can turn this situation around. Brethren, that's where Peter was. He was doubting. But we know the end of the story. The miraculous occurred. God can do the supernatural in your life. Don't say that the Lord can never do what He says He promises to do. The reality is we need to take hold of the promises of God by faith and know that He will do as He promises. See, we can all come up with all sorts of doubts, but at the end of the day, God's Word will stand. God will fulfill His Word. Maybe God has asked you to do something that touches the deep areas of your heart. Now, fishing is fishing, but what about relationships? What about the deep issues of our heart? You know what He said to Peter? Launch out into the deep I want you to go to the deep places of the Lake of Galilee. Not in the shallows. I want you to go where you don't feel comfortable with this request. You know, the Lord, when he asks us to do something uncomfortable, let me encourage you to be excited. Something supernatural is going to happen. Amen? Amen? Absolutely. Something is going to happen because the Lord has a plan, but oftentimes those are the areas of our lives he touches are the deep things of our hearts. But thank God for that. Amen? Thank God he wants to draw out that faith from us, to lift us up and to move us forward, to do the miraculous. That's what he wanted to do in Peter's life. We see his doubts. Notice how Peter's doubts turn to faith. Well, how did that happen? Verse number 5. Are you still with me tonight?
Yes.
All right. Verse number 5. The Bible says, as Peter doubted, we have taken nothing. Notice what he says next. Let's say it together. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And brethren, this needs to be a verse that we remember and we make part of our lives. Lord, I don't understand how you're going to do this. Lord, I don't understand how this can happen. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. If you want to live by faith in 2016, church family, we need to put this reality down into our lives. You may be doubting right now what God wants you to do. You may be doubting how he will be able to do it. But the reality is, all we simply need to do is trust in him and say, Lord, I believe who you are. I believe in your word. And I believe you will do what you say you will do. Our faith is the issue. Our faith is the issue. Notice what Peter said. He said, Master. He recognized who the Lord was. He recognized that the Lord had the authority over his boat. He recognized the Lord had the authority over all things. And he realized that he is not just talking to his fellow fisherman who's asking him to go out for another go. No, he is talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking to the God of the universe in human flesh standing before him. He realized the Lord Jesus Christ's position of authority. And brethren, we need to realize if the Lord has saved our soul, if the Lord has done the miraculous work of salvation in our lives, my friends, we are bought with a price. He has the right to tell us everything to do and everything not to do, and we can simply say, yes, Lord, and experience his miraculous work in our lives. Amen? But we need to recognize who the Lord is. Be careful as you read through the Word of God that you don't read like an unbeliever. An unbeliever says, these are the words of man. I'm not going to believe this. In fact, I like the parts I like, and I don't like the parts I don't like, so I'll just pick and choose. Because at the end of the day, man wrote the Bible. Brethren, we know better than that. But sometimes that's how we read the Word of God. We pick and choose. When God says something about our family life, or about our work life, about our witness, we go, well, that's not for me. You see, these are the words of God. Amen? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen? And it's profitable. It's for us. God's very Word, he speaks to us through his Word. And we need to understand that these words are the words of God. Who are we to say, no, Lord, you can't do it? Ought it not to break our hearts so often when we live in unbelief? What do? Well, we're calling God a liar. We're calling God a liar. And that's a high-handed insult against a holy and righteous and sinless God. So Peter recognized he's the master. That's true. That's what turned his doubts to faith. Notice he trusted in the Word of God. Amen? He trusted in God's authority. He trusted in God's Word. He said, nevertheless, at thy Word. Now remember, faith isn't just leaping out into a certain direction because we think that's what God wants us to do. Amen? That's foolishness. That's why a lot of Christians are criticized by the world today. Because they say they're living by faith, but they're just living by their own thoughts. Their own self-will. The way of Cain, as we saw this morning. Abel knew what God said, so he just obeyed. Cain made up his own way. And God said, sin lieth at the door, Cain. You see, when we understand what faith is, we understand the simplicity of it. At thy word. He trusted in Christ's word. Now, verse number 4, the Lord promised them what would happen. He told Peter, he said, beyond what you think, you're going to catch some fish today. Broad daylight. And it's not going to be a small catch. It'll be a huge draught of fish. Draught of fish, a huge catch, a huge haul. That's what's going to happen. And that's how Peter changed from doubting to believing. He said, yes, Lord, I'll believe. He put his confidence in Christ's word, his trust in the word of God. And that's simple. That was the key to his doubts turning into faith. If God said it, that settles it. Amen? Matthew 6:33. I often quote it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, amen, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now that's a promise. Just like the promise God gave to Peter, that if you let down your nets, you'll catch a huge haul of fish. God has said, if you put me first, I'm going to provide for your every need.
Amen.
A command and a promise. A promise that will never fail. If it fails, God is not God. But the reality is, we think to ourselves, well, if I really put Christ first and become a radical Christian who puts God first in my life, well, maybe I'm going to miss out on the good things in life. Maybe God's going to take all my money and I'm going to be unhappy. And maybe God's going to take all my friends away and I'll be lonely. And maybe God's going to take all the good things away in life. Friends, that's not a thought from God. That's what the devil says. The devil says God is untrustworthy. The devil says God's word cannot be trusted. Do you remember in the Garden of Eden, what did the devil say? He said, yea, hath God said? And that's so often what we do. We open the word of God and we say, yea, hath God said? Is he really going to do that? Isn't that true? That's the reality. We all have times of unbelief. But we need to be simple like Peter and just say, nevertheless, at thy word I will. He believed the Lord first. He trusted in his word. That's what faith is. Bold obedience, courageous obedience to the word of God. It's exciting. The life of faith is exciting. Because we can see the promises of God fulfilled in our lives as we launch out. Let me ask you tonight, how does the Lord want you to launch out by faith this year? Is it in the area of witnessing? Does God just simply want you to say, yes, Lord, I'm going door knocking. I'm going to take that step of faith. I know you want me to be a witness. That's not hidden in the word of God. I just need to, nevertheless, at thy word I will. Maybe it's in the area of your family life and how you're raising your children and making a commitment to put the Lord first in your family, in your home. That's a step of faith. Trusting that he will work it out for good despite your fears, despite your doubts, despite your insecurities of what might happen in the home. God will bless. You see? Faith in the family, faith in our witnessing, faith in our finances. If I put God first and live my life for the Lord, what does Matthew 6:33 says? Food, clothing, and shelter. Is that right? If I've got it wrong, let me know. Food, clothing, and shelter. The basic necessities of life, God will provide. And how many of us understand he provides much more than that? Amen? He will give us what we need. But he says, first, I want you to live by faith. I want you to put me first. Amen? And then when we don't live by faith, God is more than glad to touch those areas of our life. Food, clothing, and shelter, to get our attention, to help us to grow in faith, to say, look, you need to put me first. This is how the life of faith works, amen? We live by faith and not by sight. We don't see God providing first and then we say, all right, Lord, we'll trust in you. No, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. What a wonderful promise of God. Let me encourage you to turn your doubts into faith this evening. As we continue on, Luke chapter number 5. Now, I want you to see what happened to Peter's faith in this miracle. The Bible says in verse number 6, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. So there was so much fish, that's what the word draught means, there was so much fish, their net couldn't handle the weight. It busted open. So they desperately called for their mates to come in the ship to come up beside them and help them with that huge catch of fish, and even their boats couldn't handle the immensity of the catch. This was a miracle, an absolute miracle. The Lord was not only the Lord of the land, but the Lord of the sea. And He overwhelmed them with His goodness. You know, God is good to us. God is loving. God is gracious. How many of you would testify to the Lord's abundant graciousness in your life? Thank God we're still breathing today. I don't deserve to be still alive, I tell you what. Of all the foolish decisions I've made as an unsaved person and as a saved person, I ought to be dead. But God is gracious. He pours out our grace upon us. Look, He said to them, let down your nets, plural. How many nets did they let down? One. They let one net down. God bless the small faith they had. Amen? There's another thought just to dwell on. They didn't let down their nets. Maybe if they let down more than one net, they would have been able to bring back all the fish that they caught. Their nets were breaking, their boats were sinking. They let down one net, and the Lord said, all right, I'll still bless even though your faith is small. God is gracious to us. God is gracious. But here the miracle was not the catch of fish, but what God did in Peter's heart and the hearts of these disciples, amen? That was the greatest miracle. Because He drew faith out from them. Notice Peter's response in verse 8. This is what the Lord was after. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You see, Peter trusted in the Lord, and the miracle of God humbled him. He realized that God was right and he was wrong. He realized God was trustworthy and he was a sinner. He realized that God was all-powerful and he was unbelieving. And the miraculous work of God humbled him. And brethren, don't bypass those times of brokenness and humility. That's the place where God wants us to be, where we cast aside our self-will and we look to the Lord alone to trust in Him by faith. See, the Lord wants to get self out of the way so He can do what He wants to do in our lives. By faith. By faith. And so Peter was broken. He confessed his wretchedness before the Lord. And the reality is, unless we come to places of brokenness, honestly, before the Lord Jesus Christ, not before men on show, amen, not before others around us, not just in word, but before the Lord Himself on our knees in prayer and saying, Lord, forgive me, we cannot grow in faith. Because faith is a part of faith is the Lord breaking our pride, so we can trust more in Him. You see, this was a wonderful moment of growth for Peter. Wonderful moment of faith. Because Peter's faith did not just end in letting down that one singular net, did it? This was the beginning of a life of adventure. Let me put it that way. This was the beginning of a new start for Peter. An amazing life. A life where he knew, look, if I can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for this catch of fish, I can trust in Him for anything else in life. And when the Lord said, fear not, after this thou shalt catch men, what does the Bible say? They cast their nets away. You see, Peter surrendered his net to the Lord, and then he surrendered his life to the Lord. Now that's growth. Amen? That's what the Lord wants to do in your life and mine. He just wants us to say yes. And then He'll bring us to a place where we can trust in Him more. And we'll desire to trust in Him more. And we'll desire to do more for the Lord. And brethren, as we see the life of Peter, Christ did not let him down. Amen? He did not let him down. The Apostle Peter was used mightily for God in his day. And it all began by these words, nevertheless, at thy word. If you could trust in the Lord for this, you could trust in the Lord for anything else. Let me say this. If you could trust in the Lord for the salvation of your soul, then friends, we can trust in the Lord for anything. Amen? The just shall live by faith. If we've been justified, if we've experienced the miraculous work of salvation, then we can trust in the Lord for everything. That means His Word is just as true when it speaks about how we can be saved, and we are saved, and then His Word is just as true when it comes to our lives, our everyday lives, our choices. It's all true. And it all contains the miraculous work of God. That's what He desires us to do. The Lord wants us to go from faith into from salvation, faith in Him for salvation, to faith, mature faith in the Christian life. That's what it means to live by faith. Let me encourage you this evening to grow in faith in 2016. Now, God can do the miraculous. There is no doubt about that. He can do the miraculous, but we have two choices. We can stay on the shore. Coastline Baptist Church, are we just going to stay on the shore in 2016? Now, it's comfortable on the shore. It's not embarrassing if something goes wrong. Okay, we haven't done anything to be embarrassed of. The crowd, well, we're still there. We're on the shore. It's safe. It's secure. At least I know where I'm standing. But brethren, let me say this. That's where most Christians live their lives. On the shore. Staying put. They know what the Lord says, but they don't want to launch out into the deep. Now, faith is believing the Lord's word. Faith is obeying the Lord's word. And it's only then, brethren, that we experience the miraculous works of God. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. That's when we experience the miraculous. You want to stand on the shore in 2016? Don't expect your life to be any different than last year. Can I be honest? Amen. You can say amen. We need to step out by faith. Amen. Launch out into the deep. Launch out. Yes, it's scary, absolutely. Into the deep. Into the places that make us feel uneasy, nervous, helpless. But that's when the Lord steps in. What a wonderful miracle. Lots to learn in these passages. But Peter went from doubt to faith to greater faith. Amen? That's what the Lord wants to do in our lives in a nutshell. Let me encourage you to cast those doubts aside. I know better. I'm discouraged. I don't want to do anything right now. What if I fail? Brethren, if that's where we stand, we're standing on the shore. We'll see nothing happen. But if we say to the Lord, nevertheless, at thy word I will, just wait to see what God will do. Now, the Lord only knows which areas of our your lives He's touching right now. What areas of your life He wants you to step out by faith. But this is an exciting theme. God has brought it to us this year. And I'm excited because that means that there's going to be all sorts of faith steps this year. Not only for our church, but for our individual lives. Will you make this theme your own? Will you be like Peter and simply say, yes, Lord. Yes. Stop saying no. Amen?
Amen.
Stop saying no to God, brethren.
Yeah.
Stop saying no. We get stuck because we say no. We're stopped in our tracks. God said, all right, I'm not going to move you any further until you say yes. That's when you'll see something happen. But if you're just going to keep saying no, 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 well, then you'll stay put. And then you'll suffer. And then you won't have joy. And you won't see the miracles of God. That's not His plan for our lives. God wants to do the miraculous through us. Let's boldly obey the Lord in 2016. Let's launch out into the deep, brethren, at His word.